We'd like to continue our discussion of the mitzvah of tefillah, the obligation of prayer. We're going to study, Im Yirtzeh Hashem, today the machlokas between the Rambam and the Ramban about whether or not tefillah is a mitzvah d'oraisa, and under what circumstances, what the extent and the definition of the mitzvah d'oraisa of tefillah according to the Rambam, according to the Ramban. But I'd like to begin with a fascinating tshuva of Rav Moshe Feinstein in Igros Moshe or Chaim Chelik Beis, and he addresses the following question: is a Ben Noach, a non-Jew, obligated within the framework of his mitzvos in the mitzvah of tefillah? Where does tefillah fit into the picture? And obviously, this touches on the movement to encourage in public schools throughout the United States and other countries to allow students a time period, a slot for prayer. What should be our attitude as observant Jews dedicated to the observance of the Torah? What should be our approach and our attitude towards prayer amongst the non-Jews? Obviously, we're not talking about prayer to Avodah Zarah, to anything that smacks of idol worship, but if it's prayer to one God, what is our attitude? Are we positive, or do we advocate that non-Jews should pray? And in general, what is the halachic view on prayer for non-Jews? Offhand, you know, the knee-jerk response to this question should be, well, the Gemara in Sanhedrin enumerates the seven mitzvos of Bnei Noach, the mitzvah of tefillah. The obligation to pray is not on that list. And to the extent to which we view that list as an exhaustive list, one would certainly assume, in the context and the framework of the Gemara in Sanhedrin Daf Nun Vav, that non-Jews are not obligated in the mitzvah of prayer. Nowhere do we find a source to obligate non-Jews to pray. But Rav Moshe has a twist. He has a chiddush here. And he says the following: Nira l'anius daiti, duhurak likvo achiyuv lispalel. If you're talking about the formal obligation of the mitzvah of tefillah on a regular basis, certainly this mitzvah is not enumerated amongst the mitzvahs that a Ben Noach is obligated in. And that means that if there's no special need for the mitzvah of tefillah, just the obligation to pray on a time basis, you know, that time itself obligates the mitzvah of prayer, that's a mitzvah that's uniquely Jewish. It does not apply to non-Jews. He says, if there's a special need, we're not talking about the passage of time. Time does not engender a chiyuv tefillah as far as Bnei Noach is concerned. But when we're talking about a need, there's a need of a moment. Kagon, he gives the example. Sheyesh lo chola, the non-Jews has someone in his family or some close friend, or maybe he himself is ill. Oshieshlo tzorech, if he has another need, yainlo parnasi, he doesn't have food to support to sustain his family. He doesn't have finances to sustain his family. Says Rav Moshe, who chiyuv mamish, this is an obligation that's incumbent not just on a Jew, but on a non-Jew as well. Ah, you'll ask me, it's not enumerated amongst the seven mitzvahs of Bnei Noach. Lo kashem imashalo hichshiv zeh lemitzvah miyuchedes b'chiyuvei Bnei Noach, doesn't appear in the framework of those mitzvahs listed in Sanhedrin that are obligatory upon non-Jews. That kash is not a kasha, says Rav Moshe. Can you guess why that's not a kasha? In other words, Rav Moshe now is facing the challenge that if there's an eis hatzorech, a Jew and a non-Jew alike have the obligation to pray, where do we subsume that? We have to find it somewhere in between the lines of the Sheva Mitzvahs Bnei Noach. And in fact, the only positive command of a Ben Noach is the mitzvah of established dinim. The rest alosa says he's not allowed to deviate from the belief in one God, etc. Those alosa says. And here Rav Moshe comes up with his bomb chiddush, which has tremendous implications within the context of understanding the obligations of Bnei Noach. And he writes the following: Mishum, why is a non-Jew obligated as a Ben Noach in the midst of tefillah v'yeis tzara, when he has a chole, when he has a need for parnasa? Mishum da'avi ikar ha'emuna b'Hashem yisborach. Wow. This is considered from the fundamentals of the belief in one God. And what does it mean? The belief in one God includes much more than we think. It's not just accepting and acknowledging one God as opposed to a plurality of divine powers, Avodah Zorah, but Shehu Hanosein Parnosa Verufuah L'Cholim, the source of sustenance, of Parnosa, and health, in the case of a Chola, is Almighty God. That's the belief in God. Any deviation thereof comes under the Isur, the flip side of emuna. Uksha'eno botech al Hashem yisbarach, if he doesn't believe, if he doesn't rely on God, if he doesn't have bitachon, ve'eneno mispalel elav, if he fails to pray, he omits prayer when he needs prayer for his salvation, for his well-being, hareyu ke'eno mamin bo, it's considered halachically as if he denies God's existence. You know, the belief in the existence of God goes way beyond what we think it does. It encompasses the belief and reliance on prayer that God alone can save a person who's in great need. And if he doesn't rely on God and he doesn't pray, then in effect he is denying God. There's a denial of God here, not as the abstract theoretical belief in one source of creation or one omniscient and omnipotent being. That's not the problem here. The problem is that you're in a need. How are you going to get yourself out of that need? Do you believe, do you rely on God and prayer that God alone can save you and protect you in that state of need? And if you don't pray at that point, you're basically saying that prayer is meaningless because God, who may exist in theory, you know, in abstract terms, cannot do anything for you. He's not interested. He's not involved in your life. All that, the belief in God and prayer and the power of prayer and God's response to your prayer and His omnipotent power and His providence, His involvement in this world, in your personal life, all that comes under the belief of Emunah. Emunah now is expanded according to Rav Moshe Feinstein. And therefore, in an Eis Tzara, a guy like a Jew is obligated in the midst of prayer. Pella of a Chiddush. You may find a source for this radical conclusion of Rav Moshe Feinstein's Zichrono Livracha in the Sefer HaChinuch 1,000 years earlier. Because in Parshas Ekev, which is this week's Parsha, that has the mitzvah of tefillah in it, V'avadetem es Hashem Elokeichem, the Sefer HaChinuch writes that the mitzvah of tefillah requires a daily prayer. That's the language of the Sefer HaChinuch. And we'll mention that the Sefer HaChinuch is in mitzvah Tuf Lamed Gimel. You'll see a paragraph that starts V'over Al. And let's quote his language. He writes, V'over Al Zev V'omed Yom V'layla B'lo Tefillah Klal. If we're talking about a person who allows for a day to pass, a day is made up of a unit of time of both night and day, that's 24 hours, and he doesn't daven within that 24-hour period, Bitel Esei Zeh Kedas HaRambam Zal. He mentions the Rambam's opinion of being Mevatel Amitzus Aseh. This is the Rambam at the beginning of Hilchus Tefillah. You'll see it on your page. The Rambam writes, Mitzvah Saseh L'spal B'chol Yom. That means a day cannot go by without tefillah. Shenemar v'avadetem es Hashem Elokeichem. Mipi Hashmuel Lamdu Shavoda. That this service to Hashem, Zui Tefillah, it's not just some sort of general mitzvah, a mitzvah klolis, but rather it's a specific mitzvah that mandates a particular action, a well-defined action, namely tefillah. Shenemar Uliavdo B'chol Levavchem. Amru Chachomim Ezohi Avoda Shebelev Zu Tefillah. What does it mean, Lovdo B'chol Avavchem? What is Avoda Shebelev? Chazal and the Sifri identify this as Tefillah. And therefore, one is obligated as a mitzvah, say, amongst the Taryag, to to pray to Hashem on a daily basis, and that's where the Sefer HaChinuch here expresses that if a day goes by without tefillah, bittul mitzvas aseh, he was mevatel this particular mitzvah aseh of li'avdo b'chol levavchem, according to the Shitas HaRambam. And notice, if you will, the Rambam starts with the pasuk in Shmos Chav Gimel of Avadatem es Hashem Elokeichem, and he concludes with the pasuk in Parshas Ekev in Dvarim Yud Aleph Ulav Dabchol Levavchem. The Kesef Mishnah wants to know, why does the Rambam need two pasuk, and why not just jump into Liav Dabchol Levavchem and quote that as the source of the mitzvah of tefillah? And the Kesef Mishnah answers, because Uliav Dabchol Levavchem is just describing what the Jewish people will do in order to be zocha and schar, in reward. It's not in a language of tzivui, it's not formulated in a grammatical imperative as it is in Parshas Mishpatim, as it says in Shmos Chav Gimel, when it says Vavaditem, and you shall serve Hashem. But be that as it may, no matter what the exact source is, the Rambam has a mitzvah doraisa of tefillah, which the Rambam writes is a daily mitzvah. The Rambam concludes Halacha Aleph in Hilchos Tefillah by telling us that Ein Minyan HaTefillos Min HaTorah. The Torah doesn't require a certain minimum amount of times within the course of a day that you have to daven once would be sufficient. That's on a Doraisa level. And not only that, Ein Mishnah Tefillah Zos Min HaTorah. The formulation, the exact language of the Tefillah, what we should be asking for, is not Min HaTorah. The Torah is absolutely all-inclusive, is flexible. You can daven what you want and ask for what you want. It's only the Rabbanan who are going to add the Minyan HaMitzvahs and the Minyan HaTfilos on a daily basis, and the Mishnah HaTfil, meaning the formulation of the specific petitions. That's all Midr Rabbanan. V'ein l'tfilos man kavua min haTorah. Any time during the day is fine. The Rabbanan are going to institute Zmani HaTfilah. That's all according to the Rambam Shita. So a day goes by without tefillah, and a person is mevatel in mitzvah aseh shel Torah, according to the Rambam. The Kesef Mishnah points out that the Ramban in Sefer HaMitzvahs, mitzvah aseh hey, is masig on the Rambam. A tefillah, according to the Ramban, is clearly midrabbanon. The Ramban invokes a Gemara in Brachos Daf Chaf Aleph. The Gemara calls tefillah dirabbanon. How then can the Rambam say that tefillah is a mitzvah min haTorah when the Chachamim already say that tefillah is derabbanon? But again, the Rambam will always answer that when the Gemara calls it mitzvah derabbanon, it's referring to either minyan haTefillah, zman haTefillah, the Mishnah tefillah, the formulation of the brachos. That's all midrabbanon. But the Ikar mitzvah is doraisa, as the Sefri derives it from Avoda Shebolev. The Ramban, therefore, is hard-pressed now. The ball is in his court to defend himself if he denies Tefillah Doraisa. What do we do to Sefri that derives Tefillah Min HaTorah from the Pasuk of Avoda Shebolev? Says the Ramban in Sefer HaMitzvahs, Mitzvah Aseh Hey, and I'm quoting the Ramban, he says, V'yim Ula Yiyah Midrashim Et Tefillah Ikar Min HaTorah. If you take this Medrash of the Chazal of Avodah Shebolev to its logical conclusion, take it very seriously, that there is a source here in Chazal, in the Sefri, in Parshas Ekev, for the mitzvah of Tefillah Min HaTorah, Nimna Oso B'minyono Shel HaRav, and now we're going to have to accept Tefillah in the counting, the enumeration of the Tariq Mitzvahs, says the Ramban, the answer is, V'nomar, we should suggest, Shehi Mitzvah, when does the Torah require and mandate tefillah, and it becomes now a mitzvah to be counted in Taryag, li'eis hatzaros, as at a moment of tzara, of great need, of impending catastrophe or doom, when a person's situation is so precarious, when the human situation is so vulnerable to such destruction, at that moment tefillah is doraisa under Avodah Shebolev. And look at the Ramban's addition. He says, Shenamin, we should believe, Shehu Yisbarach V'Yis'ale Shomea Tefillah, we must believe, this is one of the fundamentals of our faith, that God, may He be glorified, the lofty Almighty God, hears, He hearkens to our prayer, V'hu Amatzil Min HaTzoros, and He and only He will save us and spare us from these catastrophes, b'tefilah b'zaka, when we cry out to Him. That's the mitzvah of tefilah d'oraisa. So the Ramban is now admitting and embracing the Shitas HaRambam, at least in part, accepting the fundamental principle that tefillah is to be counted amongst the tayag, as the Sifri derives it from Avodah Shebaleiv, but the Ramban would limit that to the Eis Tzara, whereas the Rambam requires tefillah ba'ofen kavu, on a regular basis, on a daily basis. A day goes by without tefillah, then there's a bitul mitzvah asei d'oraisa of Avodah Shebaleiv. The Ramban would only allow for a bitul mitzvah asei d'oraisa of tefillah if an Eis Tzara, impending disaster, and the person fails to pray omits tefillah. Getting back to the Sefer HaChinuch in Parshas Ekev, the Sefer HaChinuch adds that if a day goes by without tefillah, you mevatel the mitzvah. Say, according to the Rambam, what about according to the Ramban, Misha Tzarlo, he's in a situation of tzara, he's really hard pressed, v'lo karal Hashem lo shio, and he fails to call out to God to save him, he does not utilize the power of prayer for divine to achieve divine salvation, bitel esei zeh l'das HaRamban zal. And then the Sefer HaChinuch adds the following phrase, v'oncho gadol miot. Don't think that according to the Ramban your punishment is limited. It's a great punishment. Why is it so awesome? And here's the Sefer HaChinuch's bomb. He drops the bomb. Shehu kemesir hashgachas Hashem me'olav. It's as if he denies the protection, the providence of God, who's there to protect it. So denying tefillah, omitting tefillah, according to the Chinuch, in the context of the Ramban, is meser hashgachas Hashem. He doesn't accept the hashgach of Hashem. You might say, all right, maybe he's questioning the effectiveness of tefillah, of prayer. But no. The reason why he's not praying is because he's denying the Hashgach of Hashem. And that's, of course, a severe avera of the Yud Gimel Ikri Adas, of the tenets of the faith, that we believe in God and God's power to protect us, God's knowledge of our world, of what goes on in our lives, even on an individual level. And take this back and plug it into Rav Moshe Feinstein's tshuva about the universal nature and obligation of tefillah in a case of an Eis Tzara. And even a Ben Noach, if he omits tefillah be Eis Tzara, he is in denial of the Ikrei Amunah b'Hashem Yisbarach. He doesn't rely on Hashem and Hashem's Hashkoch, Hashem's power to protect him. He's an Eino Mamin Bo. He has vitiated the mitzvah of Emunah, which is incumbent even on a Ben Noach. We come to the conclusion that tefillah b'Eis Tzara is a common obligation to both Jew and non-Jew alike. And this leads us really into the kishkes, the subject of today's shiur, namely the chashivas, the significance, the special role and power and obligation of tefillah b'Eis Tzara. And what we want to study now is the source for this concept of tefillah b'Eis Tzara. Of course, as we've seen, both in the Kesef Mishnah, according to Ramban, and in the Sefer HaChinuch, and in the Tshuva Reboshe, tefillah b'Eis Tzara comes under the mitzvah of Emunah, reliance on Hashem, His knowledge of what goes on, He hearkens that praise, He will protect us. But we're looking for a source in the Jewish nation, in perhaps the very DNA or spiritual DNA structure of the Jewish people. Where is the source? Where do we find in the Torah tefillah b'Eis Tzara, a prayer that we can emulate? And I'd like to refer you to a kapitel of Tehillim. Perek Chaf, and this kapitel is obviously very meaningful, very powerful. We pray it not only based Tzara, but even on a daily basis. Yancha Hashem b'yom Tzara, Yisagevcha Hashem Elokei Yaakov. Because I believe that in this kapitel, in this very pasuk, we have a basis a source in the Torah, in the Tanakh, for tefillah b'yeis tzara. And this pasuk, if we read it carefully, is pointing us in a particular direction as to where to find this tefillah. Yisagevcha Hashem Elokei Yaakov. And on this very pasuk, there's a medrash in Shochar Tov, Yisagevcha Hashem Elokei Yaakov, which I want to call your attention to. The medrash is bothered, why Elokei Yaakov, the God of Jacob? Why is Jacob singled out? We have three of us. We're asking for divine compassion to protect us, b'yeis tzara, and we refer to the God of Yaakov. Why the God of Yaakov? And the Medrash asks it in this way. Beautiful formulation. Elokei Avram velokei Yitzchak ein ksiv kan. It doesn't say the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, Ella, but rather Elokei Yaakov velama. Amarei Shlokish. Mashal li'isha ubra she makashal leled. A woman in the throes of labor, of birth. She's having a rough time. Amrin le, we say to her, Lesanon yad inon, don't we know, manomer lech, what we should say to you. And that is, Manti oni li mech, he, with a capital H, who responded to your mother's call, when she, Bida Kishusa, when she gave birth, Yana, Yane Yasich should answer to you, be Idan Kishiyusach. In other words, we're calming her down because we're saying that your predicament was faced identical by your mother, and she gave birth to you and to your siblings. She cried out to Hashem, Hashem protected her, and she survived. She was able to give birth and remain a healthy woman, raise you as a child. So there's a precedent here. Calm down. And I don't mean it facetiously. We're not trying to brush off in a callous way her pain and her suffering and her fear about giving birth in these very, very difficult moments. But rather we're saying, take consolation, grab onto the emunah, the faith, that you're not the only one to face this situation. Let's go back in your ancestry to your mother, and we can go even earlier and see how God responded to the and hearkened to the prayers of your ancestors, your mother, your grandmother, and they gave birth and experienced this health. This is all the mashal of Reish Lakish Kach. Now's the Nimshal. Ksiv bi Yaakov, it says regarding Yaakov in Breishis Lamed Hey, and this is a very important pasuk in Parshas Vayishlach, Lekel Haona Osi Biyom Tzarasi. Let's take a look at Yaakov Avinu's thanks to Hashem, expressed in Breishis Lamed Hey Pasuk Beis. He says, "V'nakuma v'nale beis el v'es Hashem izbeach Lekel Haona Osi Biyom Tzarasi." He describes God as the God who hearkened to his prayer, responded to his prayer, Biyom Tzarasi, those are the two key words, Biyom Tzarasi, on my moment, on that day of foreboding evil, impending doom. Yaakov understands the power of Esav, who's coming to kill him, accompanied Esav as he's accompanied by 400 strong men. This is the army of Esav. And Yaakov says that God responded to his prayers on the day of his tzara, Vahi Modi Baderech Asher Alachti, and he protected me, escorted me, accompanied me through the derech on that day. And Reish Lakish uses that pasuk to reveal the pshat of Elokei Yaakov. Why does David HaMelech in Tehillim Perek Chaf invoke the name of God, the God of Jacob? Why not the God of Abraham and Isaac? And the answer is because it's Yaakov Avinu who says, Lakel ha'oni osa, ona osi, excuse me, biyom tzarasi. Amar lehem David. David turns to the people of Israel and he says, Mi aneh? Who is going to answer your prayers? It is the God who answered the prayers of Yaakov. Mi anali Yaakov avichem b'yis tzaraso, the same individual, meaning the being, the Almighty God, Sha'onol Yaakov Avichem B'yei Saraso, when he, Yaakov, suffered at the hands of, in the situation of Tzara, at the hands of Esav, is he, Almighty God, Yana Eschem B'yei Saraschem, he will respond through your prayers to your situation of need, Yancha Hashem B'yom Tzara, Yisagev Hashem Elokei Yaakov. It's the prayer of Yaakov then, B'yei Saraso, that serves as the paradigm for tefillah, but not just tefillah, tefillah B'yei Sara, a tefillah which is common as a mitzvah d'oraisa to both the Rambam and the Ramban, even though the Ramban is so skeptical of incorporating tefillah as a mitzvah semen Torah in the structure of Taryag. After all, the Gemara calls tefillah d'rabbanan. Nevertheless, Ramban agrees that this tefillah min haTorah b'yei Sara, and this Medrash Shochar Tov, Reish Lakish, is reflecting that concept of a tefillah based Sara that we find in the Torah. It's Yaakov Avinu who sets the precedent for tefillah based Sara. We're going to rely on Yaakov, the fact that Hashem responded to Yaakov's tefillah based Sara. That's going to be the source of our solace, our comfort, our reliability, our reliance on Hashem when we daven b'yei Sara. We're going to fashion, if you will, our tefillah b'yei Sara after the tefillah b'yei Sara of our great ancestor Yaakov Avinu when he was running away from Esav. And this is all inherent in the pasuk in Parshas Vayishlach of Kel Ha'ona Osi B'yom Tzarasi. That's going to be the paradigm for tefillah d'oraisa. That's going to teach the people of Israel, moment of need, Yaakov is relying on the tefillah, and we are relying on the tefillah as Yaakov did before us. The tefillah based tzara that was so meaningful for Yaakov. And I think that this concept of tefillah b'yeis tzara is reflected by the Ramban in his Hakdama, his introduction to Parshas Vayishlach. You should know the Ramban rarely, I think only two or three times in his Pirush al Torah, offers us an introduction into a parsha that's not directly related to an interpretation of one word or one pasuk. And he does so in his Hakdama for Parshas Vayishlach. Says the Ramban, Nichtava HaParsha HaZos, what's the purpose of this parsha? In Vayishlach, the Torah goes into great detail about the confrontation between Yaakov and Esav. Lodia ki hitzil HaKadosh Baruch Hu es avdo v'galo miyad chosak mimenu. Hashem saves, he spares his servant Yaakov and redeems him from a more powerful force, meaning from Esav and his entourage. Vayishlach malach vayatzilehu. That's number one. Number two, l'lamdenu od shehu lo batach b'tzidkaso. Yaakovinu did not sit back on his laurels and rely on his righteousness, but rather hishtadel b'hatzalah, he tried, he put out every last effort, b'chol yecholto, as much as he could, to save himself. So we don't rely on miracles. This is meant to teach us for all generations that we should follow in the footsteps. We should imitate the paradigm of Yaakov Avinu. Ki chol asher iro la'avinu im Esav achiv yera lanu tamid b'nei Esav. Unfortunately, tragically, this confrontation between Yaakov and Esav is something that's going to repeat itself time after time throughout the long Jewish history, the Golus of Edom that we're in today and we've been in for the last 2,000 years. V'roi lanu lachos b'darko shel tzadik. It's absolutely incumbent upon us to imitate, like mirror image, the approach of Yaakov Avinu to Esav and to that Tzorah, Shenazmin Atzmenu L'Shlosha Dvorim, we have to prepare ourselves in three different ways, as Yaakov did. Shehizmin Huas Atzmo, Yaakov prepared himself L'Tfila, L'Doron U'L'Hatzola, K'derech Milchama L'Vrach U'L'Notzel. These were the three methods of preparation, and we have to follow suit, in which Yaakov prepared himself to defend himself against his brother Esav. This Yisod of the Ramban is also quoted in Rashi. Rashi formulates it in Breishis, Perek Lamed Beis, Pasuk Tes, Dibra Maschav V'Hoya Machna HaNishar L'Fleita, Hiskin Atzmo, Yaakov prepared himself L'Shosha Dvarim in three ways, L'Doron, sending gifts as it were to Esav, L'Tfilah, for prayer, L'Milchama, for battle. And Rashi explains L'Tfilah, Elokei Avi Avraham. Here in this parsha, Yaakov Avinu addresses the God of my father Avram Avinu. And the Gemara in Gittin on Daf Nun Zayin Amid Beis states how central to Yaakov's very personality and his legacy is this concept of tefillah, of prayer. We know, of course, that Yaakov Avinu, the Gemara in Bracha says, establishes tefillas arvis. That's the tefillah of the evening when there's darkness. But it's the very nature of Kol Yaakov. Says the Gemara in Gittin Daf Nun Zayin Amid Beis, HaKol Kol Yaakov, Ein Lecha Tefillah Shemo Eles She'ein Ba Mizaro Shel Yaakov. That HaKol Kol Yaakov tells us something about the people of Israel, who have inherited this power of Kol Yaakov, of tefillah. HaYadayim Yedei Esav, in contrast, on the other polar extreme, the descendants of Esav have inherited the Yadayim Yedei Esav. V'ein Lecha Milchama Shenutzcha She'ein Ba Mizaro Shel Esav. And all the battles that have been won by the great champions of the military throughout the generations, these are all battles of Yedei Esav, of that legacy of Esav that's been passed down through the generations to all the descendants of Esav, the power of Yedei Esav of the Yedei Milchama. So we have two polar extremes. We have Yaakov Avinu representing the power of HaKol Kol Yaakov, which is the call of Tefillah. We have Esav, who's attacking with the military prowess and power of Yedei Esav, inherited from Esav. Haman, of course, Mizar Shel Amalek, is a descendant of Esav. And he comes to destroy the Jewish people. And the Gemara in Megillah on Daf Yud Aleph, which kicks off the long, long sugya that spreads upon many dapim of drushes, agadatas, principles derived from the Megillah. The Gemara derives from a pasuk in Tehillim, in this case, Tehillim Kapitel Kuf Chaf Dalid, Lule Hashem Shahaya Lanu, Bikum Aleinu Adam. Who is this Adam that's referred to in the Pasuk in Tehillim in Kuf Chaf Dalid? That's Haman. And if not for Hashem, who comes to protect us against Haman, we're absolutely lost. The people of Israel will be destroyed. And the Marsha in that Gemara Megillah says the following. He says that this Mizmar, this Kapitel in Tehillim, is darshened in the Medrash in the following way. Bekavona, the intention of David HaMelech in this kapitel is Yomar, is to tell us Yomar no Yisrael, that Yisrael Saba, meaning Yisrael here is a reference to Yaakov Avinu, is the Hashem of Yisrael Saba, is going to protect us against Esav. Says Mashok Siv Vayishkav Bamokom Ahu, and the Marsha invokes a very, very famous medrash about Yaakov Avinu sleeping in Beisel. Omer Bishu Ben Lokish, Omer Bishu Ben Levi, Kan Shochav Hakol Esrim Shonish Beis Lovin Lo Shochav. And he says the following: Kol Sefer Tehillim, with regard to Tehillim, Yaakov Avinu somehow, again, I don't know if it's the exact formula of Tehillim, but in some perhaps vague sense, Yaakov Avinu preempted David HaMelech in reciting all of Tehillim during that period of time that he was in Beis Lavan, Shemispal Shia Nitzol Mipnei Esav. Yaakov was running away from Esav, as we see in the end of Parshas Toldos. He's being sent by his parents, by Yitzchak and Rivka, to Beis Lavan as a refuge, for refuge running away from Esav. Bishvilo barach lebeis lavan v'yomashu sima lebanav begolus Edom. That Sefer Tehillim and all the prayers and deeply felt petitions formulated therein are a simon. They foretell the situation of Bnei Yisrael during Golus Edom, that long, dark, bitter Golus of the persecution of Edom. Shetafasnu umnus avosenu, that the only thing that could save us is when we grab on and imitate to that power, that craft, if you will, of Yaakov Avinu and our forefathers. And Ispalel Kein Lule Hashem Shayolonu B'kum Aleinu Adam. And David HaMelech says that if not for the fact that we are able to pray as our avos did, to protect us from Adam, Al Tikri Adam Ela Edom, is therefore V'etein Adam Tachtecha. God promises that He will give over Haman, Adam Tachtecha, under your control. V'Omar, and therefore we declare Shebechol Dor V'Dor Omdim Aleinu L'Chaloseinu Lulei Hashem Shoyolonu. If not for the Hashem who's protecting us, hearkening to our prayers, B'Eis Tzora, our enemies, Chas V'Shalom, would be able to destroy us. Our only power in our salvation, in B'chol Dor V'Dor, is Hashem Hoyol Lanu, is the fact that we would toe-face the umnus of Yaakov Avinu when he ran away from the Haman of his time, meaning of Esav, and we too will prepare ourselves with tefillah, B'Eis Tzora, when we run away from Edom, from those who persecute us. Let's take a look for a moment at the prayer of Yaakov Avinu, which is, as we said at the outset, the paradigm, Yisav Gevcha, Hashem Elokei, Yaakov, of Tefillah B'Eis Tzara. And we're looking at Bereishis, Perek Lamed Beis, Pasuk Yud, Vayomer Yaakov Elokei Avi Avraham, Velokei Avi Yitzchak, Hashem HaOmer Elai, Shuvli Artzecha. God, you have revealed yourself to me after all these years that I've spent in Beis Lavan, and you have told me, mandated, that I should return to my land. Shuvli artzcha l'moladetcha v'etiva imach, and you will do good for me. But katonti mikol ha-chasodim u'mikol ha-emes. Yaakov begins with mentioning the avos, as we do in our tefillah, and then he goes on to say that he's humble, he doesn't really deserve the chesed and the emes, asher asisa es avdecha, hatzileni no miyad achi miyad esav, ki yorei anochi oso pen yovo vikani emal bonim. So in this pasuk, Yaakov gets into what we call the kishkis of the tefillah, the bakasha, the petition, Hatzileni Nog, desperately praying to God to save him, Miyad Achi, Miyad Esav. And finally, Ve'ato Amarta Heitev Eitiv Imach. And Yaakov goes on to make an oath that if Hashem protects him, he'll come back, he'll establish a matseva, he'll express his gratitude by bringing a korban to Hashem. And the Sfarno on that pasuk immediately points out, Elokei Avi Avram, that the structure and the sequence of Yaakov's prayer is put together in a very meticulous way. It patterns and reflects the tefillah as was formulated by Anshei Knesset Gedolah. He says, Hikdim b'seder, Shvachos shel Mokov v'chasodov. The first thing that Yaakov says in his prayer is an expression of the great praise to God for his chasodim, ubahazkir zchus avos, by mentioning the zchus of avos. That's how we pray, kiseder anshei knes hagdola b'tchila shmonesrei brachos. And I have here from Rav Olbaum a quote in the name of the Sfas Emes that Chazal say, and this is a very famous statement in Chazal in many places, in Shas and in Midrashim, you'll see it in the Sefri and Hazinu. Li'olam yisader adam shvacho shel mokom v'achar kach yispale. We can only pray and express our petition, our bakosha, after following shvacho shel mokom. V'chein, says the Sfas Emes, so too we find Seder Tefillah Zu in the arrangement, in the very sequence of the prayer of Yaakov Avinu here in Breishis Lamed Beis, Mikodem Seder Shvacho Shel Mokom Elokei Avi Avram Katonti Mikol Chasodim. All this is Shevach Hashem for having bestowed upon me, upon Yaakov Avinu, all these great gifts which he, Yaakov, claims he doesn't deserve. Hatzileni, now he's ready for the tefillah. The Omar, and here's the chiddush of the Sfas Emes. Yaakov Avinu closes his prayer by saying, Heitev, Heitev Imach. That is keneged the third part of tefillah. Gimel Achronos, the last three parts, the last three brachos of Shmonesrei, Shukinosein, Shvach L'Rabo V'Holichlo. The Hodoya aspect is as if whatever he asked for has already been granted to him, and he gives Shvach, he praises God for having answered, hearkened to his prayers. That's what Yaakov is saying here, according to the insight of the Sfas Emes. Heitev, Heitev Imach. God, you have declared that you have done this. It's already done. It's a done deal, as we would say. And we find that in Parshas Vayechi, Yaakov Avinu again refers to prayer, this very prayer that we saw in Breishis Lamed Beis, in Vayechi, in Perek Mem Ches, Pasuk Chof Beis, Vanina Sati Lecha Shechem Echad. This is Yaakov bestowing his gift, his bracha, upon Yosef and Ephraim Menasha, the two brothers. He says, Anina satil cho Shechem achad al achecha. I've given you an extra portion above and beyond that which I've given to your brothers. Asher lokachti miyad ha'emori becharbi uvekashti. On a level of pshuto shel mikra, it's very difficult to understand these words of Yaakov in his bracha to Yosef. What battle is there between Yaakov and the Amori? Who is this Amori? And what's Becharbi Vekashti? With my sword and my bow? So Rashi says right away, in the name of the Breishis Rabbah, who's the Amori Miad Esav? Esav is being referred to here. And why the word Amori? Why is that appropriate for Esav? Rashi offers in the name of the Medrash two different possible answers. The first alternative, Sha'asa Masa Amori, that Esav was guilty of a Masa Amori, which is a kind of idol worship and denial of God. Esav becomes your paradigm of what we would call a Shono Porish, of someone who left the fold. He's a Mumar. Dover Acher Sekem Shatcha Yitzod Oviv Bi Imre Fiv. The word Amori Miloshan Imri is an allusion to how Yaakov Avinu, how Esav had tricked his father and fooled him into believing that Esav was the one who deserved the brachos. And Yaakov Avinu acknowledges that he took from Esav a second portion. And Yaakov inherited a double portion, one of his own and one from Esau. But what's Becharbi Uvekashti? So the Gemara says in Baba Basra on this, on Kufchav Gimel, Charbi Zu Tefillah, and Kashti Zu Bakosha. So we're talking about two words that refer to tefillah. Both are synonymous with tefillah. But yet Charbi and Kashti, on the level of pshat, refer to klei milchama. These are vessels that are used to battle and destroy your enemies, the cherev and the keshes. Why would Yaakov Avinu utilize those terms to refer to tefillah? And tziv has a mahalach, but I'm more interested in the marsha's mahalach. And he says the following: Ra'inu ki atfila toil Yaakov b'makom birchas hacherev shenitno leisav fel char b'chatichya. So marsha says something fascinating: that when Yaakov Avinu succeeds against Esav, Yaakov's victory, which is called Charbi, is because he's given, Yaakov has the power, which is the antidote, the exact opposite, the polar extreme of Cherev, of Charbi, of Esav. Esav is, Yadayim Yidei Esav is Al Charbi Chatichya, the power of the sword, the military might to destroy and crush your enemies. The antidote on the other extreme against this Charbi is the tefillah of Yaakov, into the Kol Kol Yaakov. So what Esav does is, he comes with his cherev. Yaakov, on the other hand, comes with his kol, his tefillah. And his tefillah is meaningful, is effective against the kol, against the cherev of Esav, of Al Charbi Chatichya. And the remez to this is in the pasuk, what's the remez? What's the allusion of the word b'kashti? So we have another arch enemy throughout history, not just the offspring, the descendants of Esav, but also the descendants of someone else in the royal family, and that's Yishmael. And if you think about Yishmael and his essence, the Torah itself testifies that Yishmael is Vayihi Rova Keshas. The Keshas of Yishmael, the bow and arrow of Yishmael, that's his military symbol. If the Cherev, if the sword is the military symbol of the Bnei Esav, then the Keshas is the symbol of the Bnei Yishmael. And when the Gemara says in Bava Basra that Kashti here in the statement, the bracha of Yaakov in Parshas Vayechi is a bakasha, is tefillah of bakasha, the word keshes is used because this is the antidote to the keshes of Yishmael. So how do we battle against that two arch enemies? The descendants of Esav, the descendants of Yishmael, the cherev and the keshes, the answer is through tefillah and bakasha. This is the Kol Kol Yaakov. This is what defines our essence as a people and our ability to survive Lissagod in the thousands of years of Golos up until this day and including today. So true, if we go back to the Ramban's Hakdomah to Vayishlach, we have to prepare ourselves in three ways: through Doron, which perhaps are political or diplomatic channels, and through Milchama, which are certainly military strategy, and all this is necessary, but not to drop the ball on Tefillah. Tefillah-based Tzara is so fundamental that when David HaMelech comes to give us hope and consolation throughout the generations in our confrontation against the Bnei Esav, B'yom Tzarasi, says David HaMelech, Nakuma v'nala beis el, l'kel ha'ona osi b'yom Tzarasi. And that's what David HaMelech means when he says, Yancha Hashem b'yom tzori yisagevcha Hashem Elokei Yaakov, it's the Elokei Yaakov, meaning the Kol Kol Yaakov, the Yaakov whose prayers b'yis tzora were responded to by Almighty God. That's the scenario, that's the hope and the consolation for the Jewish people throughout the generations, b'yom tzora yisagevcha Hashem Elokei Yaakov. The God of Yaakov, meaning the God of prayer b'yis tzora, of that power of Hayadayim Yidei, against the Yadayim Yidei Esav of the power of Kol Kol Yaakov, that's what's going to keep us going. That's what's going to clinch and guarantee our survival throughout the generations against all those who persecute us and want to destroy us. the offspring of Amalek, the Adam referred to in Tehillim, alluding to Haman, and the Hamans throughout our generations. Again, we may believe, we may see that our prayers are not answered. Sometimes it's Sasam Tfilos, so this Hester Panim. But somehow our prayers are always meaningful. We should never fall back on our obligation to pray. As we saw in the name of Rav Moshe Feinstein at the beginning of the Shia, the fundamental nature of the prayer-based Tzara is such that it's universal for all mankind. And in Yaakov's scenario, when he's in confrontation, direct confrontation with Esav as the arch enemy of the Jewish people, the pasuk describes Vayavar es Mavar Yabok. Mavar Yabok, that passing of the river Yabok, is the dramatic vision, that picture that the Torah depicts in front of us as perhaps a concrete vision of tefillah. Yaakov is crossing Yavar Yabok, Mavar Yabok, relying on Hashem's response to his prayers-based tzara. Rav Yaakov Emden is famous for saying in his siddur that if you look at the Rashi Tevos of Yancha Hashem B'yom Tzara, you take the Yud of Yancha and the Beis of Bayom, so you got Yud and Beis, and then you take the Yud of Hashem's name together with the Tzadi of Tzara, so Yancha Hashem B'yom Tzara is Tzadi plus Yud is Kuf, and you have Yabok. There's a remez to Yabok in the pasuk Yancha Hashem B'yom Tzara. And furthermore, he sees a remez in the pasuk Yanenu B'yom Karenu. Again, the Rashi Tevos, the first letter in each word of Yanenu B'yom Karenu is Yabok. These psukim in which David HaMelech refers to the power of prayer are allusions to the original prayer, to that paradigm of prayer in Yaakov's confrontation with Esav. And the Ramban in his Akdoma tells to Parshas Vayishlach tells us that this is a remez l'doros, that we, like Yaakov Avinu, imitating our forefather, have to nazmen atzmeni, we have to prepare ourselves and dedicate ourselves to tefillah, not just to Doron, not just to Milchama, but also to tefillah, the tefillah of Yaakov Avinu, which is structured, as we saw in the Sforno, in a typical pattern of tefillah, as we see it in the Anshei Knesset Gedola. The Bakasha is sandwiched, as it were, between Shevach and Shevach, or Shevach and Aldoya. May it be His will that we, the Jewish people today, surrounded by so many enemies, and whether it's the physical enemies of the Bnei Yishmael that surround the people of Israel, whether it's the spiritual enemies of the tides of assimilation and intermarriage that face us throughout the entire world, and certainly in North and South America, that we pray, and Hashem should accept our prayers. B'yom Tzora, we're going to imitate our forefather Yaakov Avinu. He has given us, bequeathed, such a legacy of Tefillah B'yom Tzora. Hashem should respond to our prayers. Yisagev Hashem Elokei Yaakov. May we appreciate and understand and embrace the significance of Tefillah as the power that defines our people, the Bnei Yaakov, the Kol Yaakov, and Hashem, with His great Ava, for the Beis Yaakov, Beis Yisrael, and its descendants throughout the generations, will protect us, will grant us a Yeshua and a Hatzolah b'mehirav Yomenu. Amen.